Lord, we just thank you for wanting to hear our prayers, wanting to hear what's on our heart. Lord, wanting to have that relationship with each and every one of us. So Lord, we say thank you for listening. Pray for Gary now as he prepares to come and to give us your word for the day. Pray that you would just use him to speak to each and every one of us. Use him as your tool and your mouthpiece this morning. We just uplift all this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen.
We have a lot to be thankful for. We, as Christians, we have more to be thankful for than most other people. And I just want to say, I am very thankful for the worship team. They are awesome. They lead us into this time that we get to worship God and hear a message and pray. And without them, it just wouldn't be the same. And I know I hack on you guys a lot, being the sound guy, you know, plug your stuff into the same jack and quit fooling around with the soundboard. But for the most part, they're really good. They leave my stuff for alone. And so I just want to say thankful. Thank you. We all, as Christians, should have an attitude of gratitude, and we should be thankful all year long, not just at this time. Let's pray real quick. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's appropriate during this week of Thanksgiving that we talk about being gracious and having an attitude of gratitude. During this week of family reunions and busyness, it's easy to forget what the holiday is all about. It's easy to get caught up in all the meal preparations, fixing the seating chart at Thanksgiving dinner so crazy Uncle Ed isn't sitting next to Cousin Jimmy who can't get along with them, planning for that Black Friday sale, how you're just going to go out and slaughter it this year. So we need to sometimes just sit back and reflect on what the holiday is all about. We can easily forget about it in all the hustle and bustle of this season because, you know, we're just winding up for Christmas now. Today is the second of the two messages that we had planned for gratitude. And last week, Bill spoke eloquently about it. And he told us, he explained that there are three elements of gratitude. There is first the benefit, and the benefit is the gift to be given. And the second element of gratitude is the benefactor, the one who gives the gift. And then the third element is the beneficiary, that is the person who receives the gift. And one of the things that Bill said that in his message that stuck with me is that he told us that the bigger the sense of entitlement one has, the smaller our sense of gratitude is. The bigger the sense of entitlement we have, the smaller our sense of gratitude. And it just seems to me like we're living in a time of entitlement. I see a large segment of our population who thinks that they're owed something. They have that sense of entitlement. Without going into the reasons for why, you know, political reasons and all that, and societal reasons, I think we could suffice it to say that for those who possess an attitude of entitlement, God's missing in their life. That's the biggest part of what's going on in today's society, that God's just not there. Entitlement, I think, is the antithesis to the Christian way of life. They're polar opposites of each other. They just don't go well together. Like I told you at the beginning, I think as Christians we have so much to be thankful for, and we sometimes take that for granted. So today we're going to talk a little bit more about it. I've been a teacher now for over 20 years. In that time span, I've helped hundreds, if not thousands, of students further their education, get their diplomas. And of all those students, and I know Bill might have a better experience at this than me, but maybe 1 in 50 will say thank you when it's all said and done. They're definitely lacking that attitude of gratitude. They have a gross lack of gratitude, in my opinion. And I don't mean that necessarily bad, but you would think that when somebody helps you along in your life that you might say thank you to them. That's the way I was taught. I think that's the way most of us were taught. But it's not just the younger people who are guilty of this. I'm sure that you in your life can think of many instances where people are ungracious, ungrateful more often than not. It's just part of our human existence. It's God not being first in people's lives. As believers, we need to be aware that gratitude opens up our lives for God's will to be done in and through us. It's the way we live in gratitude that opens God's will to be used through us. We're his instruments here on earth. Dr. Adrian Rogers used to say, God's will is what we would want for ourselves if we were smart enough to want it. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays because its beginnings and its history have a single purpose, and that's for us to stop, reflect, and give thanks. I want to share with you the words of the proclamation that was issued by William Bradford. He was the governor of the Plymouth Colony. So this is like for the first Thanksgiving. And this is what he wrote. This is what he said to the people. Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forests to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and ye little ones, do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th, in the year of our Lord, 1623, and on the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye Plymouth Rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings. That's what it's for. That's what Thanksgiving's about. It's not about the food. It's not about the people gathering together. I mean, certainly those are elements of it. It's about rendering to God the thanks that he's due for what he does in our lives. Certainly these people had a much harder life than we do. We could just go down to the store and buy all that stuff. They had to grow it, and they had to grow it while watching over their backs, making sure they weren't going to get stuck with an arrow or a hatchet. It's completely different for us, and yet we still seem to be ungrateful for it at times. Our gratitude should be a 24/7 attitude, not just on the fourth Thursday of November. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is James 1:17, and that verse says, "Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow." Notice what this verse says. It says everything good is a gift from God. Everything good is a gift from our Father. So knowing this, think about now how often you express your gratitude to him for it. If it's not daily, then maybe we ought to pray and meditate on the verse daily until it sinks into us. Because every good thing, not just some of them, every good thing comes from our perfect Father. Being thankful is best understood as a door or a portal through which God can lead us to experience his perfect will. Simply put, without it, we'll miss what God has in store for us. So it's important for us to understand where gratitude and being thankful fit in, where they belong in our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us that in everything we're to give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything we're to give thanks. A 24/7 attitude of gratitude is God's desire for our lives. So today we're going to determine what our GQ is, what our gratitude quotient is. And my question to you is, hopefully you'll have an answer by the end of the sermon, is, do you have an attitude of gratitude? Scripture tells us that there are five areas in our lives for which we should be thankful. And this is all from God's word. The first area we should be thankful for is in our blessings. We need to be thankful when things are going well. And I think that's probably the easiest time to be thankful, when things are going good. That's a natural response. Unfortunately, for a lot of people, they never bother to say thank you. And they're not that much unlike us. My students who don't thank me, people who, for whatever reason, are rude, they're not unlike us. We can be just like that. The verse we read in James tells us that God is the source of all good things, and we don't say thanks to him often enough. Not in my opinion. I know I don't. Stated clearly then, failing to have a sense of gratitude is actually ingratitude. There's a story I heard a few years ago where a man and a woman gave a generous donation to their church in honor of the memory of their son who lost his life in the war. When the announcement was made during a worship service, a woman sitting in the service whispered to her husband, "Let's give the same amount for our boy." Her husband couldn't believe what she was saying. "What are you talking about?" he asked. "Our son wasn't killed." The woman looked at him and said, "That's just the point. Let's give it as an expression of our gratitude to God for sparing our son's life." It's a completely different way of looking at it. Expressing thanks to God for the blessings he has allowed in our lives is the starting place for having an attitude of gratitude. Being thankful for God's blessings is actually a no-brainer. Recognizing that every good thing is a gift from God, we should obviously and naturally be thankful to him for them. But it goes beyond that. The second area that we should be thankful is in our prayers. We should be thankful as we bring our requests to God. Philippians 4:6 tells us, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done." One of the keys to an effective prayer life is understanding that prayer is to be entered into with an attitude of gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us again, "In everything, give thanks." But the verse right before it tells us that we're to pray without ceasing. The two ideas then are pretty connected. They're interconnected. So when we pray, we need to enter into his throne room with that attitude of gratitude, thinking about everything that he's done for us. Unfortunately, many people, especially new Christians, avoid prayer as a wish list. You know, gimme, gimme, gimme. It's kind of like we're coming to sit on Santa's lap and we're going to tell him all the stuff that we want in our lives. Give me health, give me wealth, give me obedient children. How about a promotion? Give me the cure to my sicknesses. Give me a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Lord, let me win the lottery. That'll cure it. Whatever it is, we present it to God like it's our own personal wish list. And although we are instructed to bring our burdens and our concerns and our needs to the Lord, that's not all that prayer is. It's just not, he's not the big vending machine in the sky. In Philippians 4:6, notice two words that are most often overlooked. The two words that are most often overlooked in Philippians 4:6 are the words "with thanksgiving." Now, right now, I'm going to make a whole bunch of "we need to" statements. These apply to me. If they apply to you, that's great. If they don't, just bear with me. Because as I was preparing for this, I noticed shortcomings in my life, and I hope that you can relate to some of these. We need to be thankful for the privilege of prayer, being able to talk to God, because it came with a huge cost. It was a terrible cost. Jesus shed his blood to allow us to come into the presence of the Father. It's an honor and a privilege, then, that we need to be thankful for. Every prayer that we pray needs to be voiced with remembrance of what Jesus did to make our relationship with the Father possible. Because sin totally separates us from God. What Jesus did, he brings us back into that relationship with God. We're no longer his enemies. We also need to be thankful for past answers to our prayer. How often do we say thanks for prayers that have been answered? We rejoice in the fact that they're answered, but do we say thank you? We need to be recalling how he's been faithful to us all along, through the high times, through the low times. He's always there with us. We need to not be like people who never acknowledge the gift that they receive. We need to not be that person. We need to not be like the 9 lepers who never returned to say thank you to Jesus for their healing. He healed 10 of them. 9 of them didn't say thank you. We need to be possessors and displayers of an attitude of gratitude. And we're to be thankful in advance for how God is going to work all things together for our good. I promised myself that I wasn't going to use the term attitude of gratitude, but it just rolls right out. So, and it works too. It's what we need to be. It is an attitude. We are to pray with the faith and assurance that God's power and sovereignty will bring about God's will. We need to believe that at our deepest level. We are to be thankful that he loves us so and that he wants to give us what is best for us, his good and perfect will. The third area that we need to be thankful, where we should be thankful, is in our worship. We need to be thankful as we connect with God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And then in Colossians 3:16, in part it says, we also need to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. When we were singing this morning, were you singing with a thankful heart? Worship begins with a sense of reverence towards God, but it begins being expressed from our lips in thanksgiving. Let's look at the words, and if you want to turn there, you can, but you all know these words, to Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Psalm 100 is also called the Psalm of Ascension. It's the psalm that the Jews would sing as they climbed up to Temple Mount. It's quite a trip uphill to get to Jerusalem, the city. And then once you're in Jerusalem, then you have to make the trip up to Temple Mount. It's the song that they would be singing as they entered through the gates of the city. It's the song that they'd be singing when they sing songs of praise and entered the inner courts of the temple. Put bluntly, unless you have a heart that is thankful for God, you can't really worship him. I'll say that one more time. Unless you have a heart that is thankful to God, you can't really worship him. Before we can praise him, there must be an attitude of gratitude in our hearts for what he's already given us. There must be a sense of thanksgiving for the privilege of knowing God and being allowed to be part of his mission on earth. That's what we are. That's what we need to be about. We need to find God's will for our life and then join him in with it, because that's the perfect place that you need to be. That's where I need to be. We need to be thankful when he leads us to more personal and heart-stretching areas of praise. We need to enter his gates with thanksgiving. And then that leads us then to his inner courts, where we need to enter them with praise. A fourth area that we need to be thankful for is in our fellowship. We need to be thankful for our brothers and sisters, for everybody here that God brought into our lives. You're all in my life for a reason. Likewise, I'm in yours for a reason. I hope it's a good reason. Colossians 1:3 says, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Howard Hughes was worth approximately $4 billion, said this, "I'd give it all for one good friend." In the early 1970s, there was a football coach at UCLA. His name was Pepper Rogers, and he came under intense criticism and pressure from alumni and fans. And I guess that is because things must not have been going well, because that's when coaches usually hear it. Things got so bad that he remembered with a smile that friends became hard to find. And he described that experience this way. "My dog was my only true friend. I told my wife that every man needs at least two good friends. And so she bought me another dog." But for us, God's given us our Christian brothers and sisters. He's given us friends. And it's a free gift of his grace and goodness. It's part of his plan for our lives. We are part of each other's lives because it's part of God's plan for us. Our view of one another as fellow believers should be one of gratitude. We should be giving thanks to God for bringing each other into our lives. The last area that we need to be thankful in is in our suffering. This is the hard one. We don't always do this. I know for many years I was not thankful for the suffering that I was going through. But that's contrary to what the Bible says. The Bible tells us we need to be thankful in every circumstance. Ephesians 5:20, "And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." When's the last time you went through something bad and said thanks? Colossians 3:15, "Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, and always be thankful." Acts 16:25, "Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening." See, in our flesh, we are self-seeking and self-centered. And so when things are tough, when things don't go the way we want them to go, we tend to complain. We grumble. We ask, "Why me, God?" We get upset, and we even begin to wonder why God dealt us such an unfair hand. We throw ourselves a pity party. There's a story of two men who were walking through a field one day, and they spotted an enraged bull. And the bull spotted them, too. Instantly, they took off for the nearest fence. The bull was following in hot pursuit, and it was soon apparent that they weren't going to make it. Terrified, the first guy shouted to the second one, "Put up a prayer, John, we're in for it." John answered back, "I can't. I've never made a public prayer in my life." The first man responded, saying, "But you must. The bull is catching up to us." So John replied, "All right, I'll say the only prayer I know, the one that my father used to repeat at the table." With that, he began to pray, "Oh Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." Prayer is an integral part of expressing gratitude, but it's more than just words to be said out of habit or reciting some prayer that we do every day over and over. The attitude of gratitude that we have in our lives should be the result of a changed perspective. When you accepted God into your life, when I accepted him in my life, I became a new person. I'm a new creation. So are you. And that should give us an entirely different perspective on how we view and interact with the world. We have much to be thankful for. And you don't have to think hard just to know where to start. The attitude of gratitude changes our perspective. It affects how we look at, how we perceive, and how we view the difficult times that we encounter. A mom and a dad brought their son into the living room for a discussion about a report card. Seems like the young man had gotten all F's. Dad was pretty upset, and he asked his son, "What do you have to say about this?" And the son replied, "Well, you could be proud of me." The father, who was taken aback by this, said, "Proud? Why would I be proud of you when you bring home a report card like this? To which the son replied, well, one thing you know for sure, I didn't cheat. It's all in your perspective. One day, Matthew Henry, and he's a famous Bible commentator, preacher, and scholar, he was robbed by a man who brandished a weapon. Writing about the event later, he revealed a faith-based perspective, saying, I have so much to be thankful for. I'm thankful that God wrought such a change in my heart that it was I who was being robbed and not the one doing the robbing. I'm thankful that even though the young man took my money, he did not take my life also. I am thankful that even though he took my money bag, there wasn't much inside it. I am thankful that I alone was injured and not any additional persons. I am thankful that my life is so much more than the earthly possessions God has granted to me in my sojourn here. And I'm thankful that even should I have lost my life in this encounter, I know heaven is awaiting me, where the riches of God's glory far outweigh the total of all man's possessions on earth. It's all in how you look at it. When Paul and Silas were beaten and thrown into prison for preaching the gospel, we could have very expected them to feel sorry for themselves and to grumble and complain about it. It's not what they did. They were unfairly treated. They were brutally beaten, all for trying to do something good. But instead, they were praying. They were singing hymns. They were praising God from their prison cell. When Peter and John were arrested and thrown into prison, placed in the darkest part of the dungeon, and threatened with their lives if they ever spoke about Jesus again, they refused to remain silent. What would we do? Then, when they were released the following day, they thank God for the honor of being persecuted as believers, being identified as being followers of Jesus. How could these people do these things? How could they do that? It's totally opposite of what we want to do as humans. The key is that they had learned the secret of having an attitude of gratitude. This is the attitude that isn't stymied by bad circumstances. Happiness comes from our circumstances, but joy comes from the Lord. They know the secret to that. They had an attitude that took a licking and kept on ticking. Similarly, Paul wrote Philippians while he was imprisoned for proclaiming the gospel. He wrote Philippians from his jail cell. Do you remember what the theme of Philippians is? I bet you can figure it out. It's joy in the middle of your trials. How could he do it? How could Paul be joyful while chained to a smelly Roman guard in a jail cell? You see, Paul learned the secret of being content despite his circumstances. He learned through firsthand experience and a faith stretched through times of trial and testing that being thankful, possessing a 24/7 attitude of gratitude, opens up our lives for God's will to be done in and through us, and for God's glory to be shown in how we handle difficult times. I am ashamed to say how I handled difficult times, and I hope in the future that I will not handle them the way I handled them in the past. So I want to bring it to a conclusion here and ask you, what is your GQ? What's your gratitude quotient? Are you thankful? In the middle of whatever circumstance you're going through, are you thankful? Paul figured it out, and then he wrote Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God will bring you victory, regardless of what things look like now. We need to practice 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. We're going to end with a song, but before we do, I want to say happy Thanksgiving to all of you. I hope that you have a blessed time, and I hope you remember the reason for it. And I want to put it out to you that if you need prayer for any reason, just because I'll be back there now, you can come search me out. Bill's back there. Dave's here. Come see us. We'll pray with you about whatever it is, whether we want to say thank you to God or whether you got a hurt that needs to be ministered to. That's what we're here for. We're here for each other. We're brothers and we're sisters. Get used to it. We're going to be spending eternity together. Amen. All right, let's pray, and then they're going to sing. Heavenly Father, teach us, Lord, to be thankful in all things. We have so much to be thankful for. Lord, as we cut into that turkey this week and crazy Uncle Charlie's down at the end of the table, we just say thank you. We thank you for all of our family. We thank you for our Christian family. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who died for us so that we could have access to you, Lord. Thank you for everything that you've done for us. We say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.